Solid rock.
Solid rock I stand.
Amen. Everything else is sinking sand.
Thank you, Lord. Beautiful ladies. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise his holy name.
Amen. We acknowledge God being our solid rock.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge each of you for standing on that rock.
Yes. Yeah.
Without you on the rock, I might fall too. So I thank God for you being a part of growing me up in him.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We have read in our hearing from the 28th chapter of Matthew. We read verse 19. We're going to ask to journey back to that inspired and inspiring writing. And then after that, we're going to go to Galatians 3 and 28. Amen. So Matthew 28:19, then Galatians 3, 28. We thank you for standing, all who are able, in reverence to the author of the word. Amen. From the King James Version of the Bible, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And then in Galatians 3:28, the word says, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of God. Dear Lord, we come today in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can come today with the assurance of knowing that Jesus is a solid rock. We thank you, Lord, that we are planted firmly on the foundation of our faith in him as our Savior. So now as we enter, God, this study, we thank you that hearts and minds have been prepared to hear from you. We come acquiescing and surrendering now, God, over to your will, your wisdom, and your way, that all things are done in accordance with your divine purpose for our lives. So now, God, speak to us and through us. We thank you for the word that comes. We thank you for hearts that are rendered soft in your presence. Bless us individually and collectively, and we'll be careful, God, to continue always to praise and honor you in all things. Father, we love you, we appreciate and adore you. And Jesus, in your mighty, matchless, marvelous, and majestic name, we pray, the blood covering of the Lamb and the saints of God, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to keep those passages in mind. I know they probably make absolutely no sense right now. But we will see what it is that God is saying to us. So today we're just going to talk about use as a subject. An old title from years and years and years ago. But we're just going to talk about it and see what the Lord is saying to us. So our subject for today for our consideration is a black, a woman, two Jews, and a cripple.
Say that again.
A black,
a woman,
two Jews. And a cripple.
And a cripple.
Help us, Lord.
During the last century, one of the most frequently discussed news items was the careless and irresponsible statement made by then Secretary of the Interior, James Watt. And during a speech before the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on September 21st, 1983, Watt described a commission which he had appointed as having every kind of mixture. He said, I have a black, a woman, two Jews, and a cripple. Now, many people were offended by that statement. The general consensus was that it was in very bad taste. It was certainly an embarrassment to the Reagan administration, and that Watt should resign from his office. And then I believe, if I recall correctly, it was about October 12th or 17th, somewhere in that time frame, that James Watt did, in fact, resign. But you see, this wasn't the first time that James Watt had been criticized for making offensive remarks. As a matter of fact, he had a reputation for putting his foot in his mouth, much like Joe Biden and Harry Reid today. But this time, it seems that Watt had gone too far. Now, it goes without saying that all public officials and all other persons who hold responsible positions and all people in general have to be careful about what they say and, even more importantly, how they say it.
Yes.
You see, it's not always about what you say, but it's the choice of words we use to express ourselves that get us into trouble.
All right.
Some of y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Ouch, amen.
Mr. Watt could have gotten across the same message without offending anyone if he had only chosen different words.
All right.
He could have said, in appointing this commission, I have called on the services of some very outstanding persons who represent the broad spectrum of our social structure. Mm-hmm. I have an American of African descent. I have a talented and capable woman. I have two representatives of the Jewish community and an outstanding contributor from the handicapped community. And all reflect the diversity of our makeup, but each shares the common bond of our goals. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that sounds better than saying I have a black, a woman, two Jews, and a cripple. Uh-huh. Now, while I was researching a prediction made by Sarah Palin in 2008, I also came across some remarks made by Minister William Barber II of the North Carolina NAACP, who said that blacks who don't toe the line and are not in lockstep with the Democratic Party are puppets, mouthpieces, and house folks. But while I was researching Sarah Palin's remarks and offensive things said by prominent folks, this comment by Watt came up again. And so it ignited us and gave us the time for our remix of today's message. Now, please understand that this message is not concerned with Mr. Watt, Mr. Reed, Mr. Biden, Miss Palin,
yes,
or the Right Reverend on the Good Foot Bar.
Yes.
Right. But this message is all about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So in this teaching, we will demonstrate that Jesus dealt with both sexes, men and women, mm-hmm, various ethnicities and nationalities, and people who were severely handicapped during his 3.5-year ministry.
Mm.
In short, there were no outsiders as far as Jesus was concerned. There was neither Jew nor Gentile, black or white, male nor female, crippled nor healthy. Indeed, there was a place for everyone who accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord.
Well,
so thinking about that statement again, a black, a woman, two Jews, and a cripple.
All right.
The Holy Spirit kind of shared some things with me.
Come on.
He reminded me that during his earthly life, five of the most important events in the ministry of Jesus were centered around a black, a woman, two Jews, and a cripple.
All right.
Well, teach now.
Now, the black is Simon of Cyrene.
Yes, sir.
The woman is the woman of Samaria, commonly referred to as the woman at the well. The two Jews are Matthew and Zacchaeus, two publicans who were changed the very moment they met Jesus. And the so-called cripple is the man who had an infirmity for 38 years and responded positively when Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So let's take a brief look at each of these persons and see just how prominently they figured into the life of Jesus.
All right.
Now we're going to arrange them in order just a little bit to make it a little more typical of our society. Since women are accustomed to being first, let's talk about the woman. And then since blacks were and are relegated to being last,
yes,
we're going to say Brother Simon to the end.
All right.
Now, if there was ever a master of one-on-one counseling, it is our blessed Savior and Lord Jesus, who is our Christ.
Yes, sir.
One day he and his disciples went through a little town in Samaria called Sychar, and Jesus, being physically tired, sat down on a landmark known as Jacob's Well.
Yeah.
And his disciples went into the business section of town to purchase some meat. Mm-hmm. And while Jesus was sitting on this well, he was joined there by a woman whose name was in the Guinness Book of Records for having more men than anybody else during the known history time in history. And while Jesus was fully aware of her past, he did not allow that fact to prevent him from carrying on a conversation of conversion with her. So he asked a simple question, or shall we actually say he made a simple request of her that provoked her to reveal her innermost prejudices and racial biases and hang-ups. Jesus merely asked this woman for a drink of water. And she responded by telling him in no uncertain terms how she felt about Jews. You see, Jews and Samaritans didn't speak to each other because, like black folks today, they were not equal. And so she just went on this tirade going left. But Jesus straightened her out by letting her know that when you're in his presence, the gift of grace solves the problem of race.
Well,
so the conversation then shifted to morality, and Jesus sent her home to get her husband. Another simple request by Jesus brought out the truth concerning her life.
Yeah.
She replied and said, "Sir, I have no husband." Yeah. You see, this was meant to be a cover-up, but you can't hide the truth from Jesus. I don't care how you try.
That's right.
That's why we need to just confess and repent and move on, because he already knows. Right. And if you hold the stuff in, you can't go forward in him. And she tried to cover up. This woman really didn't have a husband. But you need to know that she had had her share of a whole lot of other women's husbands.
Yeah.
All right.
She had seen several marriages erupt into terrible nightmares. And when Christ told her all about her past, she began to perceive that this was no ordinary man. Right. See, we already know he ain't ordinary. But she had to find this thing out.
Yes, sir.
But then they got on the subject of real worship, and it was revealed to her that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah. And as soon as she heard the revelation, she went through a complete transformation. And because of her transformation, she now has a new conversation.
Amen.
Did she change from the town whore to the town crier?
Amen.
She had a story to tell now. Yes. Oh, can't you just hear her, see her running through the streets? Use your Holy Ghost imagination. She's saying, "Come see a man who told me all the things whatsoever I have ever done."
Yes.
Some of us don't want Jesus pulling the cover off and telling the story about what we've done.
Amen.
She said, "He told me everything."
Yes.
She ran all over town, stopping every man she met. But instead of soliciting him for immoral purposes, she was then trying to recruit them for Christ.
Yes.
Now here's the most amazing thing about all of this.
Come on.
The disciples who went into town to buy meat didn't tell a single person about Jesus.
All right.
Teach. Yes, sir.
But she has been changed.
Yes.
From the inside out, and now she wants everybody to know.
Yes.
Come see a man.
Come see a man.
The disciples were professional evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
They had been recruited by Christ to become fishers of men. And yet, when they went to town and walked through the crowded streets, they failed to mention the name of Jesus. Sometimes we get in that place. Sometimes as we're going through towns on the crowded streets, we don't talk about Jesus. It could have been just like them. I believe they were just still a little scared. I believe that if they thought that if anybody knew that they were affiliated with our Savior, there could be some repercussions.
Yes, sir.
But we need to know that it doesn't matter who attacks you as long as you stand for Jesus.
That's right.
All right.
Right.
Folks don't get mad at you, they get mad at the Jesus in you.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they went about doing their business and not talking about Jesus. But on the other hand, a woman who had just been converted.
Well, sir.
Left her water pot and became an instant missionary.
Yes.
Another interesting feature about this one-on-one situation is that when the disciples returned and found Jesus talking to this woman, they looked on with indignation.
That's right.
Now, they dared not question Jesus about it, but instead offered him some meat that they had purchased, and Jesus refused, saying, "I have meat that you don't even know about."
Yes.
We need to know that Jesus has some meat for us.
Yes.
But the only way we're going to get what he has for us is to get to him.
Yes, yes.
Jesus simply said, in other words, my meat is to do the work of him and the will of him that sent me.
Yes.
And to complete this task to which I've been assigned. Now let's take a look at the two Jews who figured so prominently in the life of Jesus. Matthew and Zacchaeus. And they were both publicans who were working for the Roman government. They're kind of like the IRS agents of today, if you will.
Yeah.
All right.
And they had sold out their own people and pushed them down the river, and they were bleeding these folks dry for every cent they could get. You see, in the Jewish community, they were looked upon as thieves and the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
But Christ has the capacity to look beyond our faults and to meet all of our needs.
Yes.
And despite the fact that Matthew and Zacchaeus were loathed and hated by the general public, Jesus looked beneath the surface and saw some good in them. And that's what he's done with us. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what he's done. That's what he had to do with me.
All right.
He had to get beyond what you can see and find out that there was some good in them.
Yes.
Me and Raz was talking about it yesterday. I was a scoundrel back in the day.
Yes.
I told y'all before that when my wife told her mom that she was hanging out with me, she said, "Oh, please, not that Negro."
Yeah.
Anybody but him. Go find Hitler. Go find Stalin. Go find Genghis Khan, but not that boy. But Jesus looked on the inside.
Yes.
And made a difference. And that's what he was doing. That's what he did with these fellas. When he called Matthew to be a disciple, Jesus accepted an invitation to go into Matthew's home and break bread with some of Matthew's cohorts in the tax collecting business.
Yes.
And for this act, Jesus was severely criticized by the general public. Some of his enemies, who had been waiting for an occasion to trap Jesus, decided to really let him have it now. You know how it is. You can be on your job or in your house or at the family picnic or doing whatever, family reunion. You make one little teeny, beany, meany, eeny error. And everybody there try to jump down your throat.
Yes, sir.
And that's what these folks had been waiting on. They were just waiting to get after Jesus.
Yeah.
They questioned him on his choice of friends, accusing him with fraternizing with scoundrels and publicans. They reacted much the same way when Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus. You see, only Jesus could see the good in Matthew and Zacchaeus. But in both instances, Jesus let the onlookers know that his mission was not to spend all day within the consecrated walls of the temple. Jesus was really saying, and what he's saying to us today is, if you spend all your time in the church house, you can't get out and recruit and convert anybody.
Yes, sir.
Because the folks who really need Jesus to change their lives are not in the church house.
That's right.
All right.
Now, don't get me wrong, there's some in here.
Yes, sir.
That's not what I'm saying, but the majority of them are out in the communities and on our jobs and sometimes in our homes, and God needs us to be out making a difference in the world.
Yes, sir.
Jesus made it quite clear that his mission was far more important than that of indulging in theological debates and exchanging hermeneutical and philosophical views with those who were considered to be authorities in the matters of religion.
Mm.
To put it in Jesus' own words, he said, "These two Jews are descendants of Abraham, just as you are." and they are in need of a Savior, just as you are. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yes, sir.
That's what Jesus comes for. He comes to save those who don't know him. Those who are not a part of the family of faith that God has created. Jesus came to make us better and to make us safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, let's look at the crippled man who figured prominently in the life of Jesus. This man had been laying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And when Jesus visited his bedside, he knew the man had been sick for a long, long time. This man had become a chronic complainer who blamed others for his condition. We all know somebody like that. It's never their fault. If something's going on, all we want to do is blame the next person. We revert back to the Adam syndrome. Lord, that woman you gave me, it was her fault. I wouldn't even ate that piece of fruit had she not given it to me. Just knock it out of her hand and move on. But that's a different message. Now, this man had just been complaining and complaining for 38 years. And his outlook had become so negative that he couldn't answer a simple question without giving a complete history of his trials and tribulations.
All right.
So Jesus asked this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?"
Yeah.
The same question he's asked all of us.
Yes.
And now that's an important question, because far too many people don't want to get well. If they get well, they won't have anything to complain about. If they get well, they might lose their disability check.
Yeah, yeah.
If they get well, they might start losing more and more. Folks don't want to get well.
Yes, sir.
All right.
If they get well, they don't have an excuse for not attending worship service and prayer service and Bible study and going to visit the sick and the shut-in or living up to what God has called financial obligations. If they get well, all of their excuses go away.
Come on.
So they would rather remain sick and complain about their troubles.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So Jesus put the question squarely to this man who had been a cripple for 38 years.
Yes.
Do you want to be made whole? And then this man began to tell Christ how he had been mistreated, how he had no friends, how nobody was there to help him, and how every time he was about to crawl in, someone else would step into the pool before him and rob him of his chance of healing.
Yes.
The crippled man went on drowning himself in his own tears.
Yeah, come on.
But Jesus said to him in essence, TMI, player. Jesus said, too much information.
Yes, sir.
He said, I didn't even ask you all that. I just want to know one thing. Do you want to get well? And that's what Jesus is asking us today.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to get well?
That's right.
Are you content to lay here, man, in this pitiful state? Or do you want to get up and stand on your own two feet?
Come on,
yes.
Now, the man obviously said yes, because it was at this point that Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jesus didn't want him to leave his bed there on the ground as a temptation to return and lay down again if life became too difficult.
Mm.
Jesus said, and by the way, take your bed with you.
Mm, come on.
Take your bed of excuses and walk into the land of achievement. Take your bed of doubt and walk into the land of faith. Take up your bed of failure and walk into the land of success.
Yes.
Take up your bed of fault finding and walk into the land of forgiveness.
Yes.
Don't leave your bed laying there where you can return when things don't work out for you.
Yeah.
Don't paralyze yourself by the troubles of the world. Take up your bed and walk. That's all Jesus was saying.
Yes, sir.
This was the challenge Jesus presented to the man who had been crippled for 38 years. And then finally, the black man who figured prominently into the life of Jesus was Simon, the man from Cyrene.
Yeah.
You see, I'm so glad that Simon bore the weight of the physical cross for Jesus. I'm glad that a black man was a member of the supporting cast in the greatest drama ever staged on the face of the earth. Yeah. You see, as black people, we've been ignored so much and left out so much that it's comforting to know that in the most important event in all of history, we have another representative.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, sir.
Took place on a Friday morning.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere on the Via Dolorosa.
Yes, sir.
That winding road that led from Pilate's Hall to Calvary's Hill. Christ had been up all night Thursday.
My.
He had been taken from Judgment Hall to Judgment Hall.
Yes, sir.
He had been whipped like a common criminal.
Yes, sir.
He had been convicted in a kangaroo court. And he had a heavy cross placed upon his shoulders.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
And as Jesus made his way through the mocking crowd up the winding hill, the sun was beating down on his lacerated body. His spirit was willing, but by this time the flesh had become so weak.
Tell the story, preacher.
The human body of Jesus fell under the weight of the physical cross that he was bearing.
Yes.
And when the Roman soldiers saw that he could no longer physically carry this heavy burden, they looked into the crowd of bystanders and saw Simon the Cyrenian and grabbed him up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You need to know today that things haven't changed much.
All right.
When the load is too heavy for most to bear, they call a black man. When the garbage is too filthy for anybody else to clean up, they call a black man. When the wages are too low for the immigrant or the Anglo, they call a black man. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yes, sir.
So the Roman soldiers ordered Simon to pick up the cross.
Yes, yes.
Never realizing what an honor they had bestowed upon him.
All right.
They had no idea that when they told him to bend over and carry the cross and take it off the back of Jesus, that was real black power. They couldn't get it together. They hadn't figured it out. Somebody said that the hymn writer was standing on the side of the road and he wrote these words: "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me."
Well,
now, no doubt Simon had second thoughts as he walked through the streets listening to the jeering crowd. After all, it wasn't his cross to bear. Or was it?
All right, come on now, you help us.
He thought about the sinless God-man for whom he had accepted this honor.
Yeah.
He thought about the miracles that Jesus had done.
He thought
about the salvation Jesus had promised to those who will simply believe.
Yeah.
And Simon pressed on,
sir,
carrying the cross up that old dusty road on to Calvary's mountain, so that sinners plunged beneath the flood of blood from Emmanuel's veins would lose all their guilty stains.
Yes, sir.
You see, Simon had to be thinking no cross, no crucifixion. No crucifixion, no resurrection. No resurrection, no salvation. I'm glad that Simon bore the physical weight of the cross.
Yes.
So that Jesus could bear the spiritual weight of my sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Simon bore the weight of the wooden beam so that Jesus could bear the weight of the spiritual beams of the sins of the world.
Merciful God.
As we enter into this celebratory season of the resurrection, you too can pick up your cross.
Yeah.
Each of us has one, you know. I don't know what your cross is, but I know you got a cross.
Amen.
I don't know what your burden is, but I know you have a burden.
Yes.
Amen.
God is calling us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Follow him on the road, the Via Dolorosa. Follow him as he's walking up the winding hills. Follow him as they nail him to this cross. Follow him as they stretch him wide and drop him low. Follow him as they pierce him in his side.
Mercy God.
Follow him, that's all he wants.
Yeah.
He's simply asking us to follow him. It's up to us today. What are we going to do? Are we going to follow Jesus? He's already commanded us to go out into the highways and byways and compel men to come. He said, don't look at folks because they're different and think they don't belong. He said, I need you to bring everybody into the house. Your job is not to separate the chaff from the wheat. That's my job, Jesus said. You just get them all in the house and I'll do the rest. So every opportunity we have, every time we have a chance, we need to tell somebody about you.
Amen.
Tell them about your deliverance story.
Yeah.
I keep telling you bits and pieces of mine, and I wish we could tell it all at one time, but we'd be here far too long. But tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. Tell them how he saved you. Tell them how he changed your life. Tell them how he picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on solid ground. That's the Lord I serve. I know what he did in my life. I know the things he did for me.
Yes, mighty God.
Can't nobody do me like you.
Yeah. Well,
you've got to get to that place, whatever is going on, and trust the Lord. That's good. That's good. Whatever is going on, we have to trust him. We're going to ask us to stand briefly as we extend opportunity for prayer requests, praise reports, testimonies. Share the joy that the Lord has placed in your heart. This is the time to have and share what God is doing in your life. God bless you today. God bless you today. This is the time that it comes.